of SpongeBob. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. No. All right. So, hello, everyone. We are back with the next episode of The Raiders Rambles. I am Jolt, your chief host of the show. And as always, I'm joined by none other than my awesome co-host, Avira.
Hey, what's up, guys? Happy Friday. Hope you're having a fantastical day. I'm looking forward to a pretty darn incredible episode because we got some stuff to get into.
Oh, it's gonna be a fun one, that's for sure.
As always, man.
Yeah. As always, you know, buckle up, enjoy the ride. Cause you know what? It's gonna get intense from here. Things are gonna get... Next on the show, we have our, as always, interim host, Noble.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, good night, and oh god, I'm up at 1 AM again.
See, it's never fun when that happens to you. You stay up there and then it's like, what the heck, where the timer? And I'm like, ugh.
No, it's the another 5 minutes.
That's happened to me too. Like, I get hooked on something, I was like, fuck, bugger, it's already past that time. I know, we've all been there. Yeah. Aside from that, though, we have joining us for the first time is Azzy.
What up, everybody? I hope you're having an awesome day.
We're glad to have you on the show. Now, as first timer, like you to share with us. Tell me what you know. Tell us a little bit about yourself. You know, some of the stuff you like, your persona, and what have you.
I'm from New York. You know, the central area, it's kind of crappy here. But you know, I'm an artist. I'm a music maker. I'm a, you know, a lot of things. Very, you know.
Right on, man. So, how long have you been in the fandom for?
I've been in the fandom for like, ever since I was like 13, actually.
Wow. Okay.
It's been a long time.
Nice, man. Well, yeah. It's great to have you on the air. Love it.
Oh yeah, man.
Lovely, lovely. Right, so we're going to start with a bit of housekeeping and a bit of things to follow up with from some of the stories we've talked about in the previous episode, namely the how Bluey and I went to the dog races in Good. We'll be going to dog races in Good Friday, supposedly, and of all the entities that have. Want to block them, it's the British Broadcasting Corporation.
Now, I find this interesting because isn't Bluey owned by Disney now or something?
Is it? That I'm not sure about.
See, I'd be asking why Disney wasn't chucking a wobbly about this.
Hmm.
So anyone wanting to know, this is my local paper.
Okay, yeah, so it says here, the British Broadcasting Corporation, or BBC, has threatened legal action to prevent the Tasmanian organizers of a Good Friday Greyhounds meeting in Hobart from using images of globally popular cartoon dogs, Bluey and Bingo, to promote the event. So maybe they're trademarked, and you shouldn't be using this to promote that's what they're mad about. Oh boy.
If you bring up the scan of page 5, apparently copyright isn't the issue here.
Huh.
All right, let's hear. And what I potential alert from distressing images, just be warned, because you're about to see what they have for the Bluey mascot.
Oh boy, trigger warning.
Oh boy.
Oh no! Oh god, my eyes. Stop it.
I got bleach if anyone wants it.
Oh yeah, give me some. No, I'm kidding.
Oh God!
You... Oh, when you zoom that in, that oh my God!
So basically, we have a potato with eyes and a nose here,
and a very, very overly long snout.
So oh goodness!
So that looks like it's been glued on.
How does the person in that seat look? Because look at how far apart the eyes actually are. I've seen, I'm sure you guys have also seen this as well. There is a bluey fursuiter in the fandom. Like, that exists. And it looks tremendously leagues better than whatever the hell this is supposed to be.
Yeah. Bandit something. I mean, it's... I don't know much about bluey or anything, but it's like... It's a really good looking fursuit, that's for sure.
Oh, the fursuit is, yeah, but this is,
This is something else. Mm. This is,
Mascots can never compare with fursuits. Come on.
Never, ever. Now, if mascot makers did take a cue from, fursuit makers, then maybe there might be some real, you know...
Well, you have to understand that, like, mascot suits in general are supposed to be oversized to like project from far away, but also fit anyone who can wear them. So it's not custom. Oh, so yeah. What is the BBC all mad about with this?
It's because of the use of the whole, like, you know, infringement of its intellectual property, because they're the ones, they're not, it's not Disney who's in charge of Bluey, it's the BBC, because it's ABC. And that they're co-commissioned. So, in a way, it's complicated, but really, they're just, but yeah.
So, what this feels like is this event is kind of just using icons in order to gain more attention. It would be like if you wanted to put on a barbecue and you had like a mascot guy and like Mickey Mouse said, "Come and join us, Mickey Mouse will be here." And then Disney would get all pissed off, right?
Yeah. And
that
kind of
seems like what's happening.
Yeah, and not just that, you know, this whole promotion of gambling thing, but also, and you know what the organizers did? They just changed the promotional material. If you look here, the original on the left, the Bluey cartoon character, to people wearing Bluey mascot suits.
They still use the name, though. Bluey and Mingo, come on. Oh, this is silly.
Yeah, it turns out, as far as I can understand reading the news, that the company that owns it, so the BBC, have said no, but it still iterates that there's no copyright issue with what they're doing.
Okay. So if they can use these mascots to promote their event, I mean, if gambling is involved and this is a kids show, you know, interesting.
I can understand the racing side of things, how they're like, oh, yes, you know, we're creating a family, yeah, blah, 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 but the truth is, bad taste. I'm sorry, bad taste.
Well, are they assuming that, like, children will be coming to this event, and they're going to, like, want to take pictures with Bluey the mascot, or, like...
My assumption is that they would have families that definitely show up to the dog races, but...
Yeah.
It is not something to do. And with Bunnings' whole thing with Bluey recently, it's bad timing.
Well, it does say at the very end here, the Good Friday meeting will go ahead as planned. So it doesn't seem like they're, you know, backlash aside, it doesn't seem like they're going to be cancelled or anything.
No, but with any luck, they'll get sued. The BBC will sue them up the ass. Because that bloody thing looks horrible.
It's terrifying. Are you kidding?
I died from cringe just by looking at that photo.
Yeah, right? What the heck?
What the hell was that?
I mean, I wouldn't say they tried. I would say there was an attempt.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. That thing looks like someone's sleep paralysis demon or some shit.
No. It really is. It's like it's got the vibe of, hey, you know, can we get a thing made from China? And bam. One mascot costume coming right up.
Right. That too.
But yeah, I mean, imagine that. If I were, you would think amongst all this, it's it's crazy. But I think the only thing that would probably make it a bit more, what's it called, is if is this in a self in a moment of self awareness or one thing, you know, the Bluey thing is that does an episode on such a topic, but that's but that's a bit of, you know, a stretch.
It's a marketing ploy, you know, at the end of the day. Yeah. You know, Bluey's a very popular character.
And it's, yeah,
if
it's
it can awesome. Shoehorn this into this event and, yeah, you know, make it publicized, then sure. That's what they're gonna do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because of course it's not thingoed by the, you know, by the people in charge of Bluey. Yeah, it wasn't even licensed nor endorsed. But hey, if it pulls crowds, then hey. Mm. So that's that for the little bit segment on housekeeping. The next thing, the first piece, you know, item that we've got is a major one, because now the games, the segment on games has blown up so much, it's crazy to keep track of it though. But first, we are going to touch on one of the more pertinent things about, of, you know, of our time in the gaming. So, let's have a look at this. All right. PS5 owners lose access to hundreds of games as digital purchases wiped from their accounts.
Hmm.
Ooh.
Damn.
Yeah.
So, well, let's see. It says, a strange bug is removing people's games on PlayStation 4 and 5 via... and Vita, and Sony doesn't have a fix. It wasn't long ago that PlayStation sparked fan outrage when it said that it would remove Discovery Video content from people's libraries, even though they had paid for it. So this is an issue that we've talked about before in regards to like owning physical media and versus digital media, because stuff like this can happen and there's really nothing that could be done in some cases.
Right, because, you know, the whole Discovery thing and all that, mm-hmm, is because of like a business, a merger decision that's just kind of gone south. And then now this is, again, it's a big bug. Well, conveniently, right, maybe it's like a thing or issue, and yeah.
Well, at least 50 PlayStation owners have reported that their digital games are going missing. One affected by the bug went on Reddit to explain what's going on and vent their frustration that they can no longer can access their games in a post that has attracted others with the same problem. Yeah, that's a bummer. Imagine, because nowadays games are stupidly expensive. Now imagine paying for that, getting invested in the game, you know, all your micro transactions and all that crap. And it's like, you try to log on, it's like, oh, where'd my game go? It's gone.
I know, right? Like you,
this is why I love physical media.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You want to take my game? Say hello to my sword.
I'll just pop my compact disc right back in the freaking thing and whatever, or my cartridge and or whatever it is. Yeah. Hmm. Evie, are you more into like console games or digital kind of stuff?
PC or even. Wow.
I'm more into the, you know, console games as I've grown up on it. Like, I've grown up on the PS2 and the PS3, PS4, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I never played the PS5. I mean, nor do I ever really, like, want to play on it because it's, like, stupid expensive. It's bonkers. It's ridiculous.
Nice.
Yeah, and as for your thing, you know, you're on the basis of things like that, though, since, you know, we all grew up with the disc, do you tend to, you know, go to your shop and buy the disc, or just purchase online from the PlayStation Store?
No, I'd rather just go to the GameStop in order to, like, buy a couple of discs. Even though it's, like, crazy expensive now, but, like, there's a one time that I went to GameStop and just to find a game, and some of them are like $70. It's like, it's ridiculous.
Oh yeah. But imagine, you know, you spend the $70, you know, you have like the physical copy and everything. You'll have it forever. And so long as, I mean, you have that, you can still play whatever your favorite game is. It's not like you have to worry about some random bug just deleting all of your data.
Yeah, that's why I don't trust the, you know, digital purchase on some of these games and all that stuff, because they would literally like take that away from you and all that crap.
I'm questioning whether or not Nintendo is going to push more for a digital console with their next release.
Or
if they're going to keep with physical media. Because for me, I found the Switch tends to hit that sweet spot of it gives you the option, but it doesn't punish you if you actually have the cartridge.
Right.
It does
right.
punish you if you want to buy the digital download because it's the same price as the cartridge. So.
Yeah.
Because like, you know, most times they can't seem to keep the pricing consistent, or, you know, sales being what they are. It's one of those things. But really, you know, the thing I find it a little bit funny here was, let's highlight this section here. One user became aware of the bug when they tried to launch Helldivers 2, but got error message, and one of the fixes that Sony says is, tried to restore a license in their account settings, and then it wiped the entire library.
Oh, that's painful.
Oh, no.
This is the other thing. Like to be able to back shit up. And I'm going to have to hit on Nintendo for this, but you can't do that with the bloody Switch. You assholes prevent me from backing up my Pokemon game, especially the cloud save. So, this is just a stab in the gut. Oof.
Yeah.
Because, again, and at the end of the day, with a digital thing, it's just, what's it called? Like, really, you don't actually own the thing. It's just you have a license to use said game.
I think they're referring to DRM. But with the way that, as you've said, this is... You don't actually own the game itself.
Yeah. And there was a very popular quote that they did this as a rebuttal to how digital games are handled. That some people said, you know, if digital purchases don't equal ownership, then piracy doesn't equal theft.
Please tell me you got that as a meme.
No, it's true. It's super true, man. Like, if you don't technically own it, then okay, if you're not really stealing it from anyone who possibly does, then whatever.
Right.
It's all in the cyberspace. It's not even like a thing. Okay, I'm being hyperbolic, but still.
30 years time, what is it going to be like when someone wants to play a game from today and it's not available? Oh, we already have that experience.
Whole, you know,
the Nintendo Wii has like these exclusive titles only on the Wii store. And they're gone now. Poof.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or like, let's say you've been playing with your buddies for like, you know, 5 years on this particular type of game, and then all of a sudden the server goes down. It's like, oh well, we're gonna be shutting down in like a month. It's like, crap. At least they give you a time limit.
At least you can play Quake 3 without having a, you know, driving up the wall.
Yeah. If at the end of the day, you know, this, again, like, the whole, this brings up the age-old question of, preservation as well, because, you know, you can say whatever you want about piracy, but sometimes it just feels like it's a necessary evil.
I want to throw this out there, but if people say you're wasting your money by buying lotto tickets, aren't you wasting your money by buying a game that you can't, like, play for as long as you want?
Right.
Or that could be just disappeared on a whim.
Or by a quote-unquote bug.
Right, yeah. Well, the article did mention that PlayStation is aware of this issue, but they have yet to comment on it.
Okay, Sony basically took a step down and woof.
Yeah.
Yeah, they thought that really coins,
I thought the battery thing was bad before, but this is yikes.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons that I don't even trust the digital purchases. I buy my own games from the store or some shit.
Mm-hmm.
I just bought like a couple Nintendo Switch games to play on my Nintendo Switch.
Mm. Or if you're inclined for PC gaming, go on sites like GOG.com where you can actually download the file that lets you install the game, at your own whim.
Right.
Yeah, it's not like nothing's connected to a server or nothing, but yeah.
And at the very least, you can have like your own personal backup. Like, you don't need a server or an outside source to run it.
Oh, hell no. I wouldn't trust that.
But yeah, same as you. Like, as you, I grew up on like the PS2, PS3. You know, I like my compact discs. You know, they're nice. That's what I do.
Until you hold it up to the light and you see a bunch of stars.
In 40 years, I can still put in that disc and play the game, so it's fine.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, to go on with the game, on the same train of thing with the gaming item. Wow. Last week, we talked about an item that just really, really, really blew up, and that was the whole saga involving Sweet Baby Inc.
Mm-hmm.
And consulting firms getting all the way over, in over their head, influencing game development. Now, this whole thing has kind of is about to escalate into a full blown, conflict of sorts.
Ooh.
Because yes, it feels as if. All right, here we go. And now you'll never guess who's going to get who's now, entering the fray. It's the government agencies.
Oh boy.
DHS aim to target gamers in misguided fight against domestic terrorism.
Oh,
I love activists, I fucking swear. There I go.
The cringe level is just up at this point.
Well, let's see what they have to say about this here. It says, the Department of Homeland Security and the FBI are coordinating with major gaming companies to monitor games for potential terrorism threats, according to a disturbing new government report. This overreach represents a severe threat to free speech and privacy rights of gamers.
Why are they doing that? Okay, freedom of speech doesn't give you the right to threaten to kill somebody or threaten to harm somebody.
No,
you could state that so-and-so, it's bad taste.
But if you say, I'm going to blow your house up in Minecraft.
I swear. I really wonder how many FBI agents are going to be thrown onto this, because they're going to need thousands.
There is a meme that's been circulating around where some guys are in an FBI suit and then just have these gamer PCs looking through the screens. That's pretty much it.
Or like the feds will be playing Call of Duty. Listening to like 13-year-olds cursing and shit. Oh my god.
I suppose the other thing is that there's the whole swatting thing as well.
Yeah, but that's, I wouldn't say that's, it seems like what they're doing is literally monitoring people on like online games, right?
Right, like, and yeah, like, game, Roblox and all that.
So the FBI also conducts briefings to gaming corporations on perceived threats from gamers. Through its nationwide field offices, the FBI receives tips from these companies about gamers' lawful online speech and views deemed extremist. for further investigation. So here's the thing. It's not about terrorist threats. They're talking about extremist views people are just talking about. So basically, they're monitoring your free speech at this point. That's what it seems like they're doing.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Sounds very familiar to me.
Sounds very Orwellian to me. More like 1984.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
This is a major step. Sorry?
Yeah, I've read the book. It sounds very similar.
Spooky, right? See, this is a major step from originally when they said, well, violent games cause violence and all that stupid crap. Now they're taking it a step further.
I liked when this dude did a video. It was a documentary. I can't remember which one. But they're like, okay, so kids who play violent video games are basically, you know, insane idiots that will turn around and kill anyone with the drop of a hat. So they got like this, I think it was like a 10 or 11-year-old kid, gave him a semi-automatic weapon and said, here, fire it. He fired it and then started crying. It's like, there's your future mass murderer. Okay.
we've seen the same thing with like watching, you know, violent movies don't actually cause people to do violence. Like, it's not that this is not a widespread issue. The fact is, they're using that as an excuse. It seems like what they actually in the article, what they're saying is they're monitoring people's extremist views, and extremist in modern day could be anything that's politically inconvenient. I'll just put it lightly.
Well, not just politically.
Well, that's what they're looking for. Extremism, right?
Sweet Baby Inc., for instance, is an example of, you know, the level of insanity of some people. It's not it's not healthy to be focusing on that sort of stuff.
Well, let's say if you're in like this multi people online game and you get into a discussion and you're like anti-trans or something. Well, maybe the FBI is going to monitor you. They'll say, well, you're against the agenda. So
yeah,
that's what it's going to come to.
This also falls down to the whole, you know, pull your head out of your ass for a minute. Do any of these games turn around and promote the idea of privacy and freedom of speech when they sell their games? No, they talk about, oh, hey, you want to go shoot a bunch of people? Here, go play Call of Duty. There's no like, oh, we're going to give you the right to express your freedoms, blah, blah, blah. No, come and shoot people. That's what the whole point of COD is. It's like with incognito mode. There was this whole lawsuit about how, turn around, we won't record your information locally on your PC, and people are suing bloody Google because websites are still taking it. You pull your head out of your ass for a minute.
But this is the thing, though. It's the gaming companies that are working with the government, because technically they're private companies and they can monitor their customers. And if they deem you say anything, you know, that's moderately not so good in their opinion.
When their customers are turning around and swatting people, what do you think's going to happen?
Oh, well, in that case, yeah, that's illegal. That's dangerous and bad.
Yeah,
clearly. I'm sorry, but if you want to turn around and swat a bunch of people in Call of Duty, don't be surprised when Call of Duty and the FBI and Homeland Security decide to huddle together and go like, okay, look, police money is being wasted. People are dying. Yeah, let's stop this shit from happening.
Oh, I get that. That's 100% correct.
And unfortunately,
that's the justification.
Everything else gets affected. So don't swat people and you won't get monitored.
It's a slippery slope, man, because God forbid you say the, you know, if you call someone a faggot or something on Call of Duty, then all of a sudden you're going to get monitored and put on a list for being an extremist, homophobic, racist. Like that's where it's going.
Yeah,
that's what I mean.
For a lot of people, the idea of this might be considered wild, fantastic, and no, it's not. It's literally just a shit ton of server set up that anything that is written or said is simply recorded onto a server. It is not difficult to set that up. It is not difficult to set up a small box in your house to cache everything you access on the internet so that you can go look at it later on or at your family's house to see what they're accessing. It's not that difficult. It's like going through someone's temporary internet files to see what they've been accessing or their history. It's not difficult. It's just
true. But look, you do know that there's a lot of gamers out there who just don't give a flying fuck about like literally anything, and they kind of come off as like anarchists. They're just freaking reckless, at least like when they're playing games, right? But that does not equate to reality, and it shouldn't.
The thing that's upsetting as well, and a lot of people probably don't realize this, but someone will say something that is meant to rile up some feelings in someone. You know, comedians do this, but in games, on online, so Twitter, Facebook, whatever, people will say something to get a negative response out of someone. And then someone else will go, oh, well, you know, I want some attention, so they'll do that as well. And it gets to the point where you get people who are, in fact, out there to, you know, they see someone, they would stab them in the neck, like that taxi driver in the US who got stabbed. Then you got people who will turn around and they'll just say the same stuff, but wouldn't actually take action. So the concern is that when you get, say, 100 people and they're all basically saying the same thing or relatively the same thing, and you've only got one person that's actually going to take action, well, you know, then the 100 people, 99 people are basically screwed. And it's just that one person that should be taken care of is sometimes ignored because, oh, they're not going to do anything.
Hmm. I guess my question to you guys and whoever's, you know, the audience listening, do you think this is some kind of an overreaction or like overreach by federal agencies to look into gaming? Do you think they're going too far?
I'd be inclined to say that this is more like you, like one of the articles said earlier, misguided than anything else, because like real, let's be real. Yes, it's a it is a breach on privacy and what have you. But yeah, like
I'd like to see
private space as a, you know, to find anything that will friend the government, for example. You know, like look at these categories: violent extremism, anti-government, anti-racial, animal rights, or environmental extremism, and abortion-related.
Abortion-related. Interesting. Wow. So if you look at the paragraph above that, it says, quote, all I can think of is the awful track record of the FBI when it comes to identifying extremism. Yeah, no crap. So if you have an opinion on abortion, I guess you're an extremist, depending on either way you go.
Yeah, depending on which way you lean, yeah.
Oh, boy. It says they're much better at finding vulnerable teenagers with mental disabilities to take advantage of. That is correct. It's unfortunate, but it's true.
Yeah, that's just,
you know, if you didn't know any better, it's almost as if that they are indeed finding the next, you know, mental nutcase to orchestrate a very, very convenient tragedy.
That or an excuse to just monitor people's speech when they're just playing a freaking game, you know?
Avera, have you done a deep dive into the original Xbox network?
The Xbox network. No.
Yep. So the original Xbox, they had Xbox Live back then as well. And some of the weird shit people would say has been archived. And you're like, oh, that's like 2024. I mean, there's no difference.
Right.
I would say this was going beyond what's necessary or what would be accepted. It's just some of the things that people have done because of the game. Eh. And don't get me started about what's that star game called? The one where you explore space?
Stellaris?
No, it's been around for a very long time.
Spore?
No.
There's quite a few games about there exploring space. I'm not sure what you're talking about.
It was online. So in other words, in order to launch an attack on someone, a rival team decided to go after their enemies by literally shutting off the power at someone's house.
Wait, what? Like in real life?
Yeah. They found some guy who had who was the pilot of the ship, and to completely disable the ship, they had someone figure out where he was. They sent someone over to the house, and they sent him over to cut the power at a key point so they could destroy the ship, and they were successful.
That is messed up.
Okay, so that at that point, that's not even gaming. That's just like...
Yeah, that's just
totally bonkers, man. I don't know what that even is. That's like touch grass at that point.
There's a good portion of gamers out there that aren't going to do anything negative, but unfortunately, you get the crazy lunatics that figure that no, I'm going to take things up to the next level, and end up in prison for manslaughter or murder. No, sorry, murder. Straight up murder. I'm sorry, but if you're going to kill someone over a Call of Duty, then yeah, you're doing straight up murder.
Those are the ones who take video gaming very, very seriously. You know, they some of these people won't even tell the difference between real life and what's in the game world and all that kind of stuff.
See, at that point, though, I don't think it's up to the gaming companies to monitor free speech. I think it's more up to like local authorities to realize that whoever those individuals are, they clearly have some issues going on, right?
You're taking the bite from what's written there. It's not taking away freedom of speech. Freedom of speech has nothing to do with threatening to kill somebody and then going through with it.
Oh, no, no. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying it's monitoring.
Unfortunately, the situation is pretty bad. I'm sorry, but swatting is a thing, and that's why they're getting monitored.
Yeah, swatting is bad, obviously.
Even if it was like swatting someone as like a prank, it's not a funny prank. That's like way too far and shit. That's not even a prank at all. Like
some
I know
people,
some
that's of... considered a Tuesday.
When I talk about free speech, though, what I mean is in the article, it specifically mentioned something like your opinions on something like abortion, right? So if you're a gamer and you're talking about this like on your stream or whatever, and the FBI is monitoring that and then puts you on a list or something because you have some extremist views, that to me is completely ridiculous.
I'm sorry, but what does abortion have to do with playing a video game?
I don't know. It was mentioned in the article. That's what they said. Like, this is part of their extremist category.
Look, okay, here's the thing. I can understand in a game someone having like their LGBTQIM plus crap. Fine. But when you start ranting and raving it in the back room or in the lobby or on the forum or while you're playing the game, that doesn't have anything to do with shooting the enemy. When you're playing like Call of Duty or Fortnite or whatever, your whole goal is to basically knock out those that are opposing you in the game. Doing it in real life is taking things a wee bit too far. But I don't understand why when you're playing Fortnite, you want to be talking about abortion rights. It's like with the furry fandom. There's supposed to be a disconnect.
There should be, yes. You're right.
World of Warcraft is an excellent example of a disconnect because you're supposed to be playing as the character in the game and not bitching and moaning about the hemorrhoid you're suffering through for the last, like, 3 weeks.
Well, good Lord, everybody should know about my hemorrhoids. Don't you know? Yeah.
Everyone should know about the whatever it is, in my private area. What's that blue thing? Oh, it's like, oh my god. It's like, that's a little bit TMI, but okay.
Yeah, it's pretty silly. Pretty darn silly.
Yeah, but to move along, just to wrap up this segment here, in light of all this stuff that's been happening in gaming the past week or so, do you feel as if the gamers are basically are in for like a really big showdown coming up because now They're up against the consulting firms, the journalists, and now maybe this.
The way I see it, it's always been there.
Yeah, always been.
The way the news article read, this was basically going on for a long time.
Yeah, the whole, you know, they've always had monitoring, the agencies have had monitoring devices, but it's just, you know, it's only just now.
I just don't like their broad definition of quote-unquote extremism, because they can identify anyone with any kinds of beliefs or opinions that they don't like as extremist, and that to me doesn't sit right.
Like, you know? like when I read that article, when it said like, oh, someone who has views on abortion or for example, if someone has views on the trans community or whatever it is, and then they're labeled as quote unquote extremist. Yeah, that's a little bit too far right there. it's just people with different opinions.
Or hemorrhoids. Exactly.
The question is though, what's their next step once you've been labeled? I mean, fine, you get monitored, but what's the, you know, moving forward part? Because if they were doing it with, say, like the Australian dude that was in New Zealand who thought it'd be a good idea to go shoot up the mosques, you know, the guys that like subscribed to PewDiePie and then cocked his rifle and started shooting people. I mean, are they going to use that to stop incidences like that from happening again?
You mean like just pre-crime?
Not New Zealand?
I don't know. It is kind of spooky to think about. I mean, yeah, I don't know what they would do.
I'd say. Oh, well. Well, I suppose that's that for now. We'll keep an eye on however this whole thing unfolds, or if any of us do end up in the unfortunate situation of being put on a list just by virtue of doing nothing but gaming. Suppose, but to move from here, there's been a couple of interesting things with movies that have come to our attention. Okay, who has had the chance to watch the Super Mario Brothers movie that came out very recently?
I did.
I have. What did you think of it? Did you?
It was all right. It was better than that 90s piece of shit.
Yeah.
Oh my god. That 90s Super Mario Bros. Movie, it's like, what the hell am I watching? It's like, it's like, this is not even close to the what Mario was supposed to be.
If you're very, very stoned, it's a fun movie to watch. Aside from that, it makes no sense, dude.
Yeah, like King Koopa is like this guy with spiky hair and stuff. It's like, what?
but the recent one that came out with Jack Black and everything. So as the you saw that, right?
Yes, I did. And I'm gonna say it's way better than that. Like I said before, it's way better than that. Than that 90s garbage. That's for sure.
Yeah, and now they're set to announce another Super Mario Brothers movie that's strangely it's not a sequel to the previous movie that we just had, but it's a whole new take on it, and it's coming out in 2026.
That's a little soon,
huh?
Well, if you think about it, you remember it was a 2-year gap between the Sonic the Hedgehog movies.
Yeah,
that we just got very recently, like, the live action ones.
Weren't they all like related or something?
Well, this is interesting because it says that the new animated film project does not appear to be a sequel. So is this, it's not a reboot, but is it just like a totally different thing?
Potentially. Like, it could be a whole new story with new, you know. Yeah. More new world building, because at the end of the day, there's still so much you can do with Mario, because, you know, because there's still a lot of characters that have not been explored in the movie as well, like from the whole Mario verse. You know, we haven't gotten the counterpart villains that Mario and Luigi have, like Wario and Waluigi, for one. We haven't seen them in the movie.
Yeah, fair point.
Yeah. You know, we haven't seen
like another. They have another 2 years to work on it.
That's true. They haven't announced, you know, it's just a thing, though, but they haven't announced if Chris Pratt is returning to play as Mario again.
To be honest, when I first heard that Chris Pratt was playing Mario, like, for the first movie that was coming out and shit, stuff, like, last year or something, I was, like, skeptical. I was like, what? And then it's like, I thought, it's like, why can't they do pick that other dude who always voiced Mario to play him? And then when I watched the movie, he wasn't that bad, actually.
Yeah. And the thing is, this movie might be alright, because it's got the same directors who were behind that movie are back at the helm again.
Yeah. Same as Jack Black as Bowser. Like, I never even thought of him being Bowser, but then when I watched the movie, it's like, what?
Yeah, that was a surprise.
It didn't sound like Jack Black at all. It's like he's like a whole different person right there.
And he had a musical number too? I mean, damn. Okay.
Yeah.
That was cool.
That song gets stuck in my head a lot of times. Peaches.
It's like, that was a bop for sure.
Yeah.
I know. But what do you guys think? Like, what do you think what can we see the plot line for Mario, the next Mario movie could be? Because
I think it could be like, you know, Yoshi like showing up, like finally showing up, because you haven't seen Yoshi in that first one.
No details about the story they're going with has been released, has it?
No, nothing of that sort either.
I'm going to hold my comments just to see what they release later on.
Fair enough. I would like to see more of the Mushroom Boys. You know, some cute little bouncy mushroom sidekicks. I think that'd be super cool.
Yeah, toads. 100%, yeah.
That's pretty much all I got to say about it, I guess, because I really don't know what they're going for, so.
Yeah, well, time can tell, though. I mean, who knows, at the end of the day, you know, they if you watch the ending, then you can probably, some people can probably say, how is Bowser going to get out of this one?
Oh, so you think they will have Jack Black come back?
Oh, I mean, I bet you they probably could.
Didn't mean to rhyme there, but that sounded all right.
I know, that worked. That worked.
They made enough money in the first movie where they obviously are confident enough in the sequel. So, yeah, I'm kind of curious to see like where it goes.
Exactly. And it's one of the, and it really is one of the, you know, the much, much better, you know, video games turned movies. So.
Oh, yeah.
So I reckon definitely they can do more of this stuff. And now they'll, you know,
it's hard to do to make a video game into a movie, because it's such a different experience from the consumer, right? When you're playing a video game, you're like, involved in the story, like, and you're moving along with it.
And one thing you've already noticed is that most of the games turned movies are the big ones are those games that have very big long staying power and legacy that have been there since, like, you know, the 80s. So you're talking about, you know, people who have got, like, you know, 30 plus years of being a Mario fan.
Oh yeah, so there's the nostalgia component. There's also the entire lore of the game, and, you know, people that are passionate enough to be able to be creative and make up storylines for a potential movie. So that makes sense.
I'm curious. Would anyone agree that it wasn't until the Resident Evil movies came out that cinema adaptations of game movies had changed?
Yeah. Interesting.
Because has anyone seen the Mortal Kombat series?
No, I haven't.
No. I've seen parts of it, and parts of the the Mortal Kombat series, the film series. It was the acting in there is just terrible. Like, it's like, and one of them was like, "Mom, you're alive. Too bad. You will die." All that shit. It's like, bro. That's like bad writing. It's like, But even though the original movie of the Mortal Kombat, not that bad, but like, could use some good writing in there, but okay.
I mean, I don't mind a little goofiness, you know, if it's going to be like an action movie or something, they can use the concept of the game itself. I mean, let's say if they were going to make a movie about like Portal, they could totally do that, but it can't be like gameplay one for one. You know what I mean? Like, there has to be a little bit more going on.
There was a Doom movie where they managed to pull that off in a scene.
Right, exactly.
I mean, the movie was shit in general, but that sort of moment in the movie was actually quite good. But they limited it to a small scene. I hate to think what they'd do if they did a whole movie like that.
Whenever I think of successful video games adaptations that became movies, I always go back to like the year 2000, Lara Croft, Tomb Raider. You know, they made up a totally different story, but it was like the character, how she acted in the game, and it was just, the writing was not so great. The story was, you know, interesting, but it was just fun and actiony, and it just worked. You know, it's just a fun movie. You don't have to be super invested and like critically analyze it or whatever. It was just a fun movie to watch, you know.
I completely forgot about the Lara Croft movie.
Dude, it was great. Yeah, it's such a good movie. And Angelina Jolie, I mean, man, she totally nails it, Lara Croft. I gotta say,
looks.
She looks like her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she looks like her.
You can't get any closer. I mean, if you want to take the movie seriously, oh, there's like tons of plot holes, but
enjoy,
I mean, you want to bitch and moan about women not being like prominent in movies, and go watch that bloody movie for crying out loud.
Yo, Lara Croft, she's got unlimited bullets. Freaking awesome. Yeah, it was cool.
100%.
But again, like they didn't adapt the video game exactly. You know, they used her character and then kind of used that as a launching point for like a new story, which worked out fine for whatever their thing was supposed to be. So, you know, I think that's probably one of the best examples of a video game movie done right. Mm-hmm. And maybe also Pokemon, because
the Detective Pikachu movie. Yeah, I've seen parts of it. It was all right. Even though I'm not really a Pokemon fan myself, but I'm just like, it's like whatever. It's like watching it, and then Ryan Reynolds is Pikachu and stuff, and it's kind of funny.
But could you imagine if they made like a Tetris movie? I mean, come on, how? Like, you can't. You literally just can't do that. That'd be silly.
You can create a movie like that. You just have real-world characters going to a tournament for it.
Oh, yeah, then at that point, you're just watching a stream.
No. You have
add a hit of drama and thing and a rivalry, and
but you basically have primarily it's like with zombie movies and TV shows. Rob Zombie himself, the only movie that came close to it was Shaun of the Dead, which was a parody of zombie movies. You make it about the people, and that's what Rob Zombie was trying to get, and that's what Shaun of the Dead got. So the Tetris part would simply be like the key moment for whatever victory.
Yeah. Okay. It's not like you're going to have characters like, I'm the long block. Well, I'm the square.
You're talking about the emoji movie. I hate Sony for the emoji movie.
What the crap was that even?
What even? It's like,
that's going to age so poorly.
Right. It did.
In like 20 years, it's when emojis like, are dead, they'd be like, what the, what was this?
What am I even looking at? What's these faces?
It's like, it comes to show you that they're definitely running out of ideas for.
Now, here's an interesting new movie that we've been touched, that we've also got announced, and we'll share this with you. Something different to change things up. Progress from Oompa Loompa to Tony the Tiger for Netflix's new movie.
Oh, is he going to be gay in this? I swear that whole social media thing was a bloody farce.
You're asking the question that every single furry on the internet is wanting to ask.
All right.
If that's the actual suit he's wearing in the what is the movie based around? What's the story of it?
Okay. But it's Tony the Tiger in Unfrosted, the Pop-Tart story has been released. And this film is set in 1960s Michigan and follows business rivals Kellogg's and Post as they compete to create the cake that could change breakfast forever. A tale of ambition, betrayal, sugar, and menacing milkmen.
Oh.
You know, that actually sounds pretty interesting.
So he's just basically the mascot, the dude wearing the mascot suit. That's it. He's not actually playing it as a character.
Yeah. That's why I was kind of confused myself. I was like, what? They're making a movie about Tony the Tiger? It's like, what?
but if you're talking about like this corporate rivalry back in the 60s of Kellogg's and I think I can get on board with that.
All right.
I just hope they don't fluffy things up too much. Like they've done with the other movies like this, and you sit there, you watch it, and it's like, well, this guy wasn't actually that much of an antagonist, or he was only like a side thing in the person's story, and yet you made him out to be like a supervillain. Why?
This is interesting. See, if it's more like less of a just blatant comedy and like a dumb kind of silly movie, if they actually go about this route, I mean, that might be something I can get invested in.
Yeah.
And of course, if they have the mascots, of course, that's, you know, as long as they do them justice, that'd be good.
Yeah, and it's interesting too because they've decided, you know what, let's do his, you know, an old, you know, legacy story. And the thing is, it's being written by Seinfeld.
Seriously?
Jerry Seinfeld?
Yes.
Okay.
Really?
Unfrosted. Seems like a deep dive into, oh goodness.
This is gonna
be the name. That's the name they picked. Seriously?
I guess so.
Oh god.
Imagine that if it takes cues from his signature comedy show, then what are we gonna be in for, eh?
I just hope they don't use the god awful laugh track.
I don't know. I don't know. And apparently, when's it going to be out? It's going to be out on May 3rd.
So this is, I'm assuming, based on a true story, right? I'm not very well versed in the history of all of this back in the 60s or whatever. But I'm assuming this is based on what happened, right? Like there was this corporate rivalry and stuff. Probably, right?
Yeah, that's probably what it is.
Huh. Hmm. All right. I guess I'll check it out.
You know, it makes you wonder if, again, like with all things, you know, they've been doing this for years, but maybe they're all trying to cash, you know, do similar things to try and cash in. To try and cash in on the whole Willy Wonka thing being a trend. Granted, you know.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, well, they did mention Oompa Loompa in the article, but I don't think that has anything to do with this.
No,
I hope not.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to see Tony the Tiger cooking methamphetamine somewhere. Probably wouldn't be a good look for him. I don't know.
Yeah. Say my name. Tony the Tiger.
At least the one thing that is promising, at least the marketing materials, as far as I know, were not created using AI.
I am the one who frosts.
Oh, yeah.
Stop giving the future people ideas of what to use Tony the Tiger for in their own movies. I'm thinking of the Winnie the Pooh thing.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That is just bad.
The horror movie you're talking about?
Yep.
Well, that's because Winnie the Pooh became, public domain, right? So anybody could pretty much use him. And as soon as that happened, well, you saw what happened.
Yep.
Yeah. Same thing they did with the Grinch. You know, they kind of fucked that.
Well, so far, we have yet to see a Steamboat Willie movie. So we have yet to see that. But we've seen a lot of memes, which is fantastic.
John Oliver already has a mascot for that.
Of course he does.
All right. So, that's about all the time we've got for this week. Lots of crazy and interesting stuff indeed's happened. So, we'd like to close things up for a week with a quick closing statement.
Azzy?
Yes?
You go first.
I reckon just sum up what you feel about, you know, this week, what we've talked about on the show for this week's items.
It's a couple of the stories are like a mixture of cringe, but the rest of them was pretty good. The ones that are cringe is the Bluey one. I cannot get out of my head. Like that was just terrifying. Like the Bluey mascot? I mean,
it's about something that, you know, to make a kid look like, to give them horrors for, like, you know, PTSD for years.
Oh my god. I mean, just with those skinny legs and the freaking, like, potato-looking body. It's like, and those eyes staring right at you. It's like, oh my god.
Boy. As he's traumatized.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's like a giant Teletubby. Like, oh my god. That's what I compare it to. And yes, I was terrified of those little things when I was a kid, so.
You should look up the Telestubbies.
Oh god.
Alright. So, who's up next?
So,
yeah. All right, Noble.
Well, Bluey basically shows why my state likes to turn around and say, "Hold my beer!" whenever it comes to causing cringe. FBI and gamers, let me put it this way. I'm not surprised. It's nice to see the authorities taking this sort of shit seriously, and while pushing the freedom of speech thing is, in my case, bullshit, get over it. Look at what's happened, understand what's going on, and just be thankful that the authorities are taking it seriously. As for Super Mario Brothers, yeah, I kind of want to know what they're doing with the story before I actually comment. Who's next?
Fair enough. Well,
I mean, I'm guessing that this Xavier.
I would say one of my primary messages here is make sure you invest in physical media. You do not want your hard-earned money invested in years of gaming to just be randomly deleted by some quote-unquote bug, all right?
What about random crash with your hardware, like the Wii?
Same. Dude. Either that. Physical media is the way to go, 100%. Now, when it comes to the Mario movie, clearly they made quite a lot of money on that last one. And if they're using the same directors, I'm curious to see where the story goes. And I mean, if they keep up with like the animation and they don't like cut corners and stuff, yeah, hopefully it works out. It looks pretty good.
Live action.
Yeah, well, quote unquote live action. Nowadays, live action just means pure CGI, so that doesn't mean anything anymore. aside from that, though, Azzy, thank you so much for coming on for the first time. You know, super awesome to have you here. And guys, I will see you next week. And yeah, that's all I got to say, man.
Thank you very much for having me.
God bless.
Yeah, pleasure's all mine and ours. And of course, as always, thank you for those who tuned in, and I hope you enjoyed this as much as we did making it. You can always find our episodes on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Play.fm, iHeartRadio, BitChute, and more platforms down the line. All right, that is all we've got for the week. See you all
till next time.
Bye. Bye.